was discussing it. And truly, their comments do not flatter you unduly. I'm glad we've met, sir. And I'll give my view of this sad matter in a word or two. As for who's guilty, that I shan't discuss. Let's say it was Damis who caused the fuss. Assuming, then, that you have been ill-used by young Damis and groundlessly accused, ought not a Christian to forgive? And ought he not to stifle every vengeful thought? Should you stand by and watch your father make his only son an exile for your sake? Again, I tell you frankly, be advised. The whole town, high and low, is scandalized. This quarrel must be mended. And my advice is not to push matters to a further crisis. No. Sacrifice your wrath to God above and help Damis regain his father's love.
Alas, for my part, I should take great joy in doing so. I have nothing against the boy. I pardon all. I harbor no resentment. To serve him would afford me much contentment, but heaven's interests will not have it so. If he comes back, then I shall have to go after his conduct. So extreme, so vicious, our further intercourse would look suspicious. God knows what people would think. Why, they'd describe my goodness to him as a sort of bribe. They'd say that out of guilt I made pretense of loving kindness and benevolence, that fearing my accuser's tongue, I strove to buy his silence with a show of love.
Your reasoning is badly warped and stretched, and these excuses, sir, are most far-fetched. Why put yourself in charge of heaven's cause? Does heaven need our help to enforce its laws? Leave vengeance to the Lord, sir. While we live, our duty is not to punish, but forgive. And what the Lord commands, we should obey without regard to what the world may say. What? Shall the fear of being misunderstood prevent our doing what is right and good? No. Let's simply do what heaven ordains, and let no other thought perplex our brain.
Again, sir, let me say I have forgiven Damis and thus obeyed the laws of heaven. But I am not commanded by the Bible to live with one who smears my name with libel.
Were you commanded, sir, to indulge the whim of poor Orgon and to encourage him in suddenly transferring to your name a large estate to which you have no claim?
It would never occur to those who know me best to think that I had acted from self-interest. The treasures of this world I quite despise. Their specious glitter does not charm my eyes. And if I have resigned myself to taking the gift which my dear brother insists on making, I do so only, as he well understands, lest so much wealth fall into wicked hands. Lest those to whom it may descend in time turn it to purposes of sin and crime, and not, as I shall do, make use of it for heaven's glory and mankind's benefit.
Forget these trumped-up fears. Your argument is one the rightful heir might well resent.
It is a moral burden to inherit such wealth, but give Damis a chance to bear it. And would it not be worse to be accused of swindling than to see that wealth misused? I'm shocked that you allowed Orgon to broach this matter and that you feel no self-reproach. Does true religion teach that lawful heirs may freely be deprived of what is theirs? And if the Lord has told you in your heart that you and young Damis must dwell apart, would it not be the decent thing to beat a generous and honorable retreat rather than let the son of the house be sent for your convenience into banishment? Sir, if you wish to prove the honesty of your intentions...
Sir, it's 3:30, and I have certain pious duties to attend to. I hope my prompt departure won't offend you.
Damn!
And help Marianne, for heaven's sake. She's suffering, so I fear her heart will break. Her father's plan to marry her off tonight has put the poor girl in a dreadful plight. I hear him coming. Let's stand together now and see if we can't change his mind somehow about this natural deploring fear.
Ah! Glad to find you all assembled here. This contract, child, contains your happiness. And what it says, I think your heart can guess.
Sir, by that heaven which sees me here distressed, and by whatever else can move your breast, do not employ a father's power, I pray you, to cross my heart and force it to obey you, nor by your harsh commands oppress me so that I'll begrudge the duty which I owe, and do not so embitter and enslave me that I shall hate the very life you gave me. If my sweet hopes must perish, if you refuse to give me to the one I dared to choose, spare me at least, I beg you, I implore, the pain of wedding one whom I abhor. And do not, by a heartless use of force, drive me to contemplate some desperate course.
Be firm, my soul, no human weakness now.
I don't resent your love of him. Allow your heart free rein, sir. Give him your property. And if that's not enough, take mine from me. He's welcome to my money. Take it, do. But don't, I pray, include my person, too. Spare me, I beg you. And let me end the tale of my sad days behind a convent veil.
A convent? When crossed in their amours, all lovesick girls have the same thought as yours. Get up! The more you loathe the man and dread him, the more ennobling it will be to wed him. Marry Tartuffe and mortify your flesh. Enough to start that whimpering afresh.
Why?
Be still there. Speak when you're spoken to. Not one more bit of impudence out of you.
If I may offer a word of counsel here.
Brother, in counseling you have no peer. All your advice is forceful, sound, and clever. I don't intend to follow it, however.
I am amazed. And don't know what to say. Your blindness simply takes my breath away. You are indeed bewitched. You take no warning from our account of what occurred this morning.
Madam, I know a few plain facts. And one is that you're partial to my rascal son. Hence, when he sought to make Tartuffe the victim of a base lie, you dared not contradict him. Ah, but you underplayed your part, my pet. You should have looked more angry, more upset.
When men make overtures, must we reply with righteous anger and a battle cry? Must we turn back their amorous advances with sharp reproaches and with fiery glances? Myself, I find such offers merely amusing, and make no scenes and fusses in refusing. My taste is for good-natured rectitude, and I dislike the savage sort of prude who guards her virtue with her teeth and claws and tears men's eyes out for the slightest cause. The Lord preserve me from such honor as that, which bites and scratches like an alley cat. I found that a polite and cool rebuff discourages a lover quite enough.
I know the facts, and I shall not be shaken.
I marvel at your power to be mistaken. Would it, I wonder, carry weight with you if I could show you that our tale was true?
Show me?
Yes.
Rot.
Come, what if I found a way to make you see the facts as plain as day?
Nonsense.
Do answer me. Don't be absurd. I'm not now asking you to trust our word. Suppose that from some hiding place in here, you learn the whole sad truth by eye and ear. What would you say of your good friend after that?
Why, I'd say... Nothing, by Jehoshaphat. It can't be true.
You've been too long deceived. And I'm quite tired of being disbelieved. Come now, let's put my statements to the test, and you shall see the truth made manifest.
I'll take that challenge. Now do your uttermost. We'll see how you make good your empty boast.
Send him to me. He's crafty. It may be hard to catch the cunning scoundrel off his guard. No. Amorous men are gullible. Their conceit so blind them that they're never hard to cheat. Have him come down. Please leave us for a bit. Pull up that table. And get under it.
What?
It's essential that you be well hidden.
spy there.
Oh, heavens, just do as you are bidden. I have my plans. We'll soon see how they fare under the table now. And once you're there, take care that you are neither seen nor heard.
Well, I'll indulge you since I gave my word to see you through this infantile charade.
Once it is over, you'll be glad we played. I'm going to act quite strangely now. And you must not be shocked by anything I do. Whatever I may say, you must excuse as part of that deceit I'm forced to use. I shall employ sweet speeches in the task of making that impostor drop his mask. I'll give encouragement to his bold desires and furnish fuel to his amorous fires. Since it's for your sake and for his destruction that I shall seem to yield to his seduction, I'll gladly stop. Whenever you decide that all your doubts are fully satisfied, I'll count on you, as soon as you have seen what sort of man he is, to intervene and not expose me to his odious lust. One moment longer than you feel you must. Remember, you're to save me from my plight whenever he's coming. Hush! Keep out of sight.
You wish to have a word with me, I'm told.
Yes. I've a little secret to unfold. Before I speak, however, it would be wise to close the doors and look about for spies. The very last thing that must happen now is a repetition of this morning's row. I've never been so badly caught off guard. Oh, how I feared for you. You saw how hard I tried to make that troublesome Darnese control his dreadful temper and hold his peace. In my confusion, I didn't have the sense simply to contradict his evidence. But as it happened, that was for the best, and all has worked out in our interest. This storm has only bettered your position. My husband doesn't have the least suspicion, and now, in mockery of those who do, he bids me be continually with you. And that is why we're able now to meet without the accusation of deceit, and why my heart, perhaps too quick to yield, feels free to let its passion be revealed.
Madam, your words confuse me. Not long ago, you spoke in quite a different style, you know.
Ah, sir. If that refusal made you smart, it's little that you know of woman's heart, or what that heart is trying to convey when it resists in such a feeble way. Always at first, our modesty prevents the frank avowal of tender sentiments, however high the passion which inflames us still, to confess its power somehow shames us. Thus we reluct at first, yet in a tone which tells you that our heart is overthrown, that what our lips deny, our pulse confesses, and that in time all no's will turn to yeses. Oh, I fear my words are all too frank and free, and a poor proof of woman's modesty. But since I'm started, tell me, if you will, would I have tried to make Damis be still? Would I have listened, calm and unoffended, until your lengthy offer of love was ended, and been so very mild in my reaction had your sweet words not given me satisfaction? And when I tried to force you to undo the marriage plans my husband has in view, what did my urgent pleading signify if not that I admired you, and that I deplored the thought that someone else might own part of a heart I wished for mine alone?
Madam, no happiness is so complete as when from lips we love come words so sweet. Their nectar floods my every sense and drains in honeyed rivulets through all my veins. To please you is my joy, my only goal. Your love is the restorer of my soul. And yet, I must beg leave now to confess some lingering doubts as to my happiness. Might not this be a trick? Might not the cat be that you wish me to break off the match with Marianne, and so have feigned to love me? I shan't quite trust your fond opinion of me until the feelings you've expressed so sweetly are demonstrated somewhat more concretely, and that you've shown by certain kind concessions that I may put my faith in your profession.
Why be in such a hurry? Must my heart exhaust its bounty at the very start? To make that sweet admission cost me dear. Ah, but you'll not be content, it would appear, unless my store of favors is dispersed to the last farthing, and at the very first.
The less we merit, the less we dare to hope. And with our doubts, mere words can never cope. We trust in all promised bliss till we receive it. Not till the joy is ours can we believe it. I, who so little merit your esteem, can't credit this fulfillment of my dream, and shan't believe it, madam, until I savor some palpable assurance of your favor.
Why, how tyrannical your love can be. Oh, and how it flutters and perplexes me. How furiously you take one's heart in hand and make your every wish a fierce command. Come, must you hound and harry me to death? Will you not give me time to catch my breath? Can it be right to press me with such force, give me no quarter, show me no remorse, and take advantage by your stern insistence of the fond feelings which weaken my resistance?
Well, if you look with favor upon my love, why then begrudge me some clear proof thereof?
But how can I consent without offense to heaven, toward which you feel such reverence?
If heaven is all that holds you back, don't worry. I can remove that hindrance in a hurry. Nothing of that sort need obstruct our path.
Must one not be afraid of heaven's wrath?
Madam, forget such fears and be my pupil, and I will teach you how to conquer scruples. Some joys, it's true, are wrong in heaven's eyes, but heaven is not averse to compromise. There is a science lately formulated whereby one's conscience may be liberated, and any wrongful act you care to mention can be redeemed by purity of intention. I'll teach you, madam, the secrets of that science. Meanwhile, just place on me your full reliance. Assuage my keen desires, and feel no dread. The sin, if any, shall be on my head. You have a bad cough.
Yes, yes, it's bad indeed.
A bit of licorice may be what you need.
No, no, I've a stubborn cold, it seems. I'm sure it would take much more than licorice to cure it.
How aggravating.
Oh, more than I can say.
If you're still troubled, think of things this way. No one need know our joys save us alone. And there's no evil till the act is known. It's scandal, madam, which makes it an offense. And it's no sin to sin in confidence.
Well, clearly I must do as you require and yield to your importunate desire. It is apparent now that nothing less will satisfy you, and so I acquiesce. To go so far is much against my will. I'm vexed that it should come to this, but still, since you are so determined on it, since you will not allow mere language to convince you, and since you ask for concrete evidence, I see nothing for it now but to comply. If this is sinful, if I'm wrong to do it, so much the worse for him who drove me to it. The fault can surely not be charged to me.
Madam, the fault is mine, if fault there be.
Open the door a little and peek out. I wouldn't want my husband poking about.
Why worry about the man? Each day he grows more gullible. One can lead him by the nose. To find us here would fill him with delight. And if he saw the worst, he'd doubt his sight.
Nevertheless, do step out for a minute into the hall and see that no one's in it.
That man's a perfect monster.
I must admit,
I'm simply stunned. I can't get over it.
What? Coming out so soon? How premature. Get back in hiding and wait until you're sure. Stay till the end and be convinced completely. We mustn't stop till things are proved concretely.
Hell never harbored anything so vicious.
Tut, don't be hasty. Try to be judicious. Wait and be certain that there's no mistake. No jumping to conclusions, for heaven's sake.
Madam, all things have worked out to perfection. I've given the neighboring rooms a full inspection. No one's about, and now I may at last.
Hold on, my passionate fellow. Not so fast. I should advise a little more restraint. Well, so you thought you'd fool me, my dear saint. How soon you wearied of the saintly life, wedding my daughter and coveting my wife. I've long suspected you and had a feeling that soon I'd catch you at your double dealing. Just now you've given me evidence galore. It's quite enough. I have no wish for more.
I'm sorry to have treated you so slyly, but circumstances forced me to be wily.
Brother, you can't think.
No more talk from you. Just leave this household without more ado.
What I intend.
That seems fairly clear. Spare me your falsehoods and get out of here.
No. I'm the master, and you're the one to go. This house belongs to me, I'll have you know, and I'll show you that you can't hurt me by this contemptible conspiracy, that those who cross me know not what they do, that I have means to expose and punish you, avenge, offend in heaven, and make you free that ever you dare order me to leave.
What was the point of all that angry chatter?
Oh, dear God. I'm worried this is no laughing matter.
How so?
I fear I understood his drift. I'm much disturbed about that deed of gift.
You gave him?
Yes, it's all been drawn and signed. But one thing more is weighing on my mind.
What's that?
I'll tell you, but first, let's see if there's a certain strong box in his room upstairs.